This is the Three Rivers Marine Tech Line, presented by Daiwa. Feel alive.
Welcome back to Three Rivers Marine Tech Line. Coming to you, courtesy of Three Rivers Marine and Tackle over there in Woodinville. And I tell you what, if you're new to downrigger fishing, there's a whole bunch to learn. And the first step is getting that thing on your boat in the right spot. All right? You know, this is definitely a case, Jay Field, to measure twice and drill once.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to make a mistake on that deal.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I've got a couple extra holes in my gunnels.
Well, every boat's different, Tom. Every boat's different, and a spot, a likely spot on one boat, it just won't work on another.
Sure.
So, you got to look around, see what other guys are doing. Guys with similar boats, talk to them. You know, how far forward do you mount your downriggers? Where's your center rigger at? Is it offset? Is it in the center? What kind of power do you have? You got twin hop boards. That's a tough go for a center downrigger. So, yeah, you look around, do your research, do your due diligence.
And one of the things, one of the challenges, Dwayne, that you have with a downrigger equipped boat is where do you anticipate playing the fish,
and
where do you want to land them? I mean, if you got boom sticking every which way, I mean, you know, it's a lot like having an oar sticking up in a drift boat in a lot of ways, because it's just a barricade, something to get in your way.
Well, and you mentioned extra holes, but I mean, if you think about it, what looks good on paper and what you're doing in the shop, you know, you're like, wow, I got my new downriggers, I'm going to mount these babies up, and then you get out there functional fishing wise, you realize, gosh darn it, even when I stow this thing, it's still not out of the way to get around the motors, get around the fit, get the, you know, do what I got to do. So yeah, that's a valid point.
You got to get them in the right spot. And of course, you and I both run Canon downriggers, and you know, of course, we, you know, the bottom tracking function and all that stuff is pretty advanced kind of things. But just the basics of downrigger fishing. I mean, here's the thing: salmon and bait stage at depths in Puget Sound, okay, or in the ocean, and there's currents out there. And if you try to get down to where these fish are and keep your gear in a strike zone with just a piece of lead, and you end up having to use such a huge piece of lead that it detracts from the fight of the fish, and you can't really get to these fish. Downrigger, I mean, the legend has it that we gave the Pacific Northwest gave the Great Lakes region the salmon, and they gave us the downrigger in return.
Right.
And you know, so basically the ability to fish this water at a certain speed and depth and keep your gear in a strike zone consistently, you know, makes it a huge advantage to run downriggers on your boat.
Well, as Karen said, it's controlled depth fishing.
Yes, it is.
And not only does it give you the opportunity or the ability to control your depth, but you can also cover a lot of water. You get a 12, 15-pound ball down there. You can go a little faster. And, you know, especially in the wintertime, these fish don't school up like summer fish. You want to get around. Once again, use your fish finder.
You're hunting fish.
Trust your electronics. Learn how to use them. You're hunting fish. And, you know, pour it on.
So you mentioned that interrelationship between the depth sounder and the downrigger. I mean, that's you. You are looking at the sounder and you're running your downrigger. But Jay, you run Dash One Charters up in the islands. What do you see guys doing that they shouldn't be doing or not doing that they should be doing?
Well, let's talk about the electronics real quick.
Absolutely.
When I'm fishing, I'm watching my wire angle. I'm watching the rod tips. I'm watching where I'm going. I'm also watching my speed over ground. I don't really care how fast I'm going through the water. I'm watching my
downrigger wire angle.
My wire angle. And I want to see if I'm making way. I want to see if I turn, how hard the current's running against me, so on and so forth. I'm also looking at my chart plotter. I'm looking for those underwater features or maybe that waypoint where I caught a fish on the last pass. No, seriously.
No, I'm with you, man. Because
you do the same thing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's putting the puzzle together. You're looking. You're taking in all these visual cues, you're processing all this data, and if you pay attention, instead of just putting it down 50 feet and driving around,
right.
I guarantee you, you're gonna do better.
I agree.
So, having been here almost a year, Nelson, I've spent...
Almost.
I've spent a good amount of hours...
Best year of my life.
Oh, best year of mine too, Jay. I'm not lying. So... I've spent a good number of hours on the back deck there of Big Red. And, you know, we've been out in Puget Sound, and, boy, I got some good experience up there in San Juans. And, Jay, you know, for those that are very comfortable in Puget Sound, and we talked to some guys, you know, at the Derby there, on Friday Harbor that, you know, they're confident in Puget Sound. They come up to San Juan's, whole new ball game, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
when you're
on the deck in Puget Sound and dragging the sand and, you know, dropping off the shelves and doing that, whether you're going up or down, it's pretty consistent. Boy, you get up there to San Juan's, you got to have your people on your downriggers running your, you know, up and down, constantly watching the change of depth, the rocks. We hung up three times. Fortunately, we got them back every time.
Happens.
Okay, got them back every time. And that's being on top of it. That's not just sitting there trolling around just doing your thing. That's, you know, all three of us on the downrigger working the ball up, down, based on what
Dwayne,
we're seeing.
Well, Dwayne, you have to, especially in this blackmouth fishery. Yep. The guys that are standing next to their downrigger,
yep,
you know, you don't need bottom track. It's nice in spots.
Yes, it is.
But you don't need that. But you need to stand next to that downrigger and work the bottom.
And I think that's the point I want to hit home to guys that are going to go, hey, I'm in Puget Sound. I'm pretty confident. We've been talking about the fishing up in San Juan's is so good. Guys want to go try it out. Some things they need to know is definitely that type of activity.
It's a very technical fishery.
It is, and
especially with respect to, you know, what we do down here in Puget Sound. Now, you know, and we're talking Chinook specifically. I mean, we're in blackmouth season, the winter Chinook, a immature fish, and they hang on the bottom. I mean, they will be in close association of bait, and the bait this time of year is found on the bottom. So you got to stay there. When we get a little later in the year, and we're, you know, 2013, hey, it's a humpy year. Hey, man, you can throw your stuff down 30, 40 feet, let them sit there till it pops off the clip, no problem. Same with coho. Yeah. They're very forgiving that way. They'll stage over deep water. But to be consistently successful on Chinook, whether wintertime or summertime, man, you got to be close to the bottom and structure.
Couldn't agree with you more. And those fish relate to the bottom. You know, I think a lot of times those fish lay on the bottom because nothing can get under them. I mean,
yeah,
they're always on the lookout for predators.
No, they're hanging on the couch.
They're
man.
Hanging on the couch, and they're also looking up.
Hanging on the couch.
They are hanging on the couch, man.
They're looking to see if some snacks are swimming up above them, too.
They're digging in the dirt.
But to get back to your first question, what do I see people doing that I don't do or I used to do, and I got a little smarter, had more experiences, is the one thing I see people do when they want to bring their gear up. They're always popping it out of the clip. Well, a lot of these guys are fishing flashers.
True.
And, you know, I'll pop it out of the clip when we get a fish on and I got to, you know, get clear of the gear. But these guys are fighting the flasher.
All the way up.
I also see them high-sticking those rods when they're trying to pop it out. Got it buried in the clip, trying to pop it out of the clip. You know, that's a great opportunity to break a rod. And so, you know, go ahead and just bring that up on the – I'm lazy anymore. I'm old. I'm lazy. I just hit the up switch and wind it up as it comes up.
That's a great point. And you'll get your gear back faster. You'll get, sometimes it's just a simple check of the gear. You don't even have to unclip it. You can just send it right back down if you're using nice stiff releases. Sure.
Here's another thing that drives me nuts, and I'll fish with someone that maybe I haven't fished with before.
Is talking on the cell phone. You're going right to the cell phone.
No, texting
while you're running.
I was going right under the bus.
This is actually procedurally related. This is
procedurally
related.
Procedurally.
Anyway, yeah, procedurally.
You know, you got the anyways, river cap. We're going to get parliamentary
procedure. We're
getting
surgical now.
Yeah, I've been up since 3. I got 5 coffees.
There you go. Now you're talking. Okay.
I got the whips and jangles.
There we go.
So bear with me here.
Okay.
Another thing I see is I'll bring my gear up to check it.
Yeah.
And the guy does it at the same time as me.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I mean, you know,
leave some gear down.
You might have a weed on yours, but let's check them one at a time.
Right.
Hopefully one of those rods are still fishing. And, you know, so.
That is a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Just because you're checking your rig doesn't mean your partner needs to check it exactly the same time. That's a great point.
And that goes back.
Keep gear in the water.
To one of the most important pieces of advice I could give anybody, regardless of any fishery, whether it's in the river, in the salt chuck, is keep your gear in the water.
Yeah.
I mean, quit fussing around. Get your stuff tied up before you leave the dock. Have other stuff tied up for a quick change. Have an alternate rod ready. I mean, I fish with guys, the Melvin brothers, in the summer when we're trying to fish bait, and the sharks are around, a lot of dogfish. I have seen Brent Melvin have 3 rods ready with a cut plug herring on each one.
Sure.
And as soon as he's got a shark on, it's in, and he's deployed another one.
Back out, yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you think about it, and I have calculated before, if I could have my gear in the water 5 minutes more a day, which is just as simple as not texting or talking to your buddies.
Very good point.
For 5
there
minutes.
There we go. Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, you spend 100 days a year on the water, 150 or 200 times 5 minutes. I mean, you're talking about a whole other day on the water, and all you're doing is giving yourself more opportunity.
That's it. And you know what? One other thing I would say is be observant. I mean, these days, fisheries around here fairly, you know, crowded at times, but watch the guy that's catching fish. Where was he on a bottom contour? Okay. Mm-hmm. Watch how long it takes for that downrigger to come up. And when the boat, if he's got a fish on, look what he's using. I mean, be observant. Watch those boats around you. The other guys on the water are going to tell you a lot about what's going on.
Well, you can see us guys. We all got a good set of binoculars.
Yeah, we do.
And you use them on a regular basis. Yes. So good point there, Jay, on leaving gear in the water. But then also, you know, from the old school of Nelly, what I've learned, man, you got to also be checking your gear, you know, every 15, 20 minutes max,
yeah, max.
Whether you're pulling bait or lures or whatever you're dragging, you still got to check gear for them shakers, you know, because you don't even know they're there. So we're checking gear, but not all at the same time, I think, is the point we're heading home. I got a question for both you guys. I know Nelson runs cable on his downriggers. Jay, I've never been on your boat. Not that I haven't been invited, just haven't made the drive. Cable or braid? I get a lot of guys come up to me going, hey, what's Nelson running on his boat, cable or braid? And I'm like, well, he's a cable guy. And then they try to tell me, well, you know, I've gone to braid because of this, da-da-da-da-da. Dispel the myths, or what do you guys prefer?
Well, I think it's a matter of personal choice.
I do, too.
And I run both. Right now I've got cable on. I did that because I had a little electrical issue, and the easiest way to fix that in one day was to put braid Spectra on my downrigger cables. The cool thing about these new Canons, these DT-10s, I've got spare spools for those things. So I've got some cable on some spools. And I could change out that cable and braid like I'd change my shorts if I want to.
Yeah,
so once a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so here's the deal. And there is a maintenance advantage to using braid as well. Once you get that braid on there, besides just freshening the nip, the very end of it that gets worn, that stuff will last a long time. If you are using cable and you can't remember the last time you replaced it on your downriggers, guess what you need to do boat show season here? You need to replace that cable. If you go on into Three Rivers Marine, they're a factory authorized repair center for some brands of downriggers. They will re-spool you. They'll do installs for you. Go see Kent behind the reel counter there at Three Rivers Marine, and he'll hook you all up. So, yes?
Well, I've got just a couple things on that cable braid.
Okay.
One, on that braid, I use a shot of 200-pound mono, a shot. And the thing is, these guys, they've had a lot of problems with braid. You're fishing blackmouth. You're fishing on the bottom. That ball's bouncing off the dirt. There's some rocks and
debris
down there. Well, it nicks that braid.
Sure.
And it parts. You know, you use about a 2-foot shot of 200-pound mono and tie that all up. I attach it with the Albright knot, and then I go ahead and just tie a swivel on the bottom. Haven't had any problems. It's also nice. You can use a little halibut clip on that mono, and it won't slide up and down.
There we go.
Your line. So that's one thing. The other thing I want, and this is pure endorsement, but it's through experience, is that Canon downrigger wire is absolutely the best wire.
The best.
I have used the other stuff.
Yeah.
I have had some Canon downrigger wire on my downriggers for 2-3 years, and it's really durable stuff. I have used the other stuff. It frays.
The Canon camo cable can't be beat.
It's more expensive.
Yeah, just a little bit, but it's worth it.
If
you're going to get another season out of it and catching fish, there you go. All right, well, there's your Three Rivers Marine tech line.